Well, it's good to be able to welcome you again to our Sunday morning service. And we begin today with a prayer in the form of the hymn, Lead Us, Heavenly Father, Lead Us. Forgive us, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, fill us. So thank you for all your messages that I've received this week. I am slowly on the mend from my time in hospital. It seems to have taken a lot out of me. I'm actually a shadow of my former self, not having weighed 9 stone for many a year, and none of my clothes fit me. Anyway, we have 2 birthday girls this week. It's Naz's birthday this week and it's Jeanette's birthday. And so this is just for you.
Happy birthday to you.
Okay, well, let's turn to our Bibles now. And if you can turn to Luke chapter 11 with me, Luke chapter 11. And we're just going to read the opening 4 verses. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Now, I read from Luke 11 there, and I had to use the footnote to complete the prayer, because some of the earlier manuscripts omit "for yours is the kingdom," but I've included it because I think it's an important part, and it is in many of the original manuscripts. Christian prayer has been our subject for several weeks now, and in these unique times when we are kept apart physically, being together spiritually is so important for us. And so, for the final time in this Christian prayer series, I want us to go back to having a look at this Lord's Prayer under the question, do we pray or say? Is this something that we pray or something that we repeat and say? And the privilege of prayer is perhaps more precious to us in these times than ever before. So I want to close this series looking again at this special prayer of Jesus that he gave to his disciples in response to their request, having heard him pray, and they were regular prayers in the temple. As they heard Jesus pray, they realized that what they were doing was nothing like what Jesus was doing, and so they came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Jesus, of course, on many occasions encouraged his disciples to pray. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, he said to them, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." A few pages further on in chapter 9, he said, "Pray that the Lord of the harvest, pray that he would send out workers into his harvest field." There are many illustrations of Jesus teaching his followers to pray, and yet these teachings are so often forgotten in our own prayer times. This teaching to pray for persecuted Christians, for those who are against us, and that's very common for us in the media and this atheistic society in which we live, Jesus encourages us to pray for those who are against us, to pray for workers to the gospel, to the proclamation of the gospel, to pray for preachers who will not be swept along by the fashion of the time or the false teaching of the day, but will truly proclaim the word of God to God's people. And we need to remind ourselves of the number of times Jesus went alone to pray. How often we read of him spending time alone with his Father in prayer. In Matthew's account of the Lord's Prayer, we read how Jesus said to his disciples, "When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Heavenly Father." We gravitate much more to public prayer meetings, but Jesus encourages us to pray alone, to be alone with our Father. I wonder if we do that. I wonder if we do it every day. I wonder if you and I have a time every day without fail, even when it's busy, even when it's holiday, even when it's Christmas Day, every day where you are completely alone with your Father. Now, of course, I'm very aware that some people that I'm speaking to, some folk here at Church on the Green, live alone anyway. But for all of us, Jesus invites us to come alone, to speak to our Father, to listen to him, to listen to his word. Jesus did, and he tells each one of us to do the same. Now, this prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer was given by Jesus in answer to a question. And you note that the question was not, give us or teach us a prayer. No. They asked the Lord, would you teach us how to pray? Teach us to pray. And so Jesus never intended this as a set prayer to be repeated, trotted out. It was given by Jesus as a model, a pattern to follow in learning how to pray. We've spent several weeks now looking at Jesus' teaching on true Christian prayer. And I want to say, as we come to look at this, there is obviously nothing wrong at all in repeating or praying this Lord's Prayer. But we must always remember that Jesus gave this to help us in our praying, to guide us as to how our prayers should be centered, as to how we should always pray when we come to God. And I myself use this prayer, repeat it much in my own praying. There's nothing wrong with that, but I always must remember that this is not a poem or something to learn by heart and repeat. It's a model. Our prayers should follow this kind of example. So when we come in prayer, we come to our Father. We always come to the Father. We don't come directly to Jesus. We come to the Father through Jesus, and we don't come directly to the Holy Spirit. Jesus says when we pray, we always come to the Father through Jesus and by the Holy Spirit. Our Father, you are his. He has adopted you right into his family as a Christian. You belong to him. He has given God the Holy Spirit to live in and to work in your heart and life. You are, he tells us, you are his own treasured possession, his beloved child. And that's so wonderful. But thank God you are not the only child in his family. So we pray, our Father, you are one of many others saved by his mercy and his grace. He is a kind, he is an affectionate Father. He is the great sovereign God. And he has affection for you and for me. And as my Father, of course, he has authority over me. It's so important to know this when we pray. For we won't be listened to if I am constantly disobeying him, constantly pushing him out, constantly living to my own agenda. And as my Father, I must trust him. There will be times when I can't understand what's happening to me, when I can't understand what he's doing. But in those situations, he is still my heavenly Father. So I trust him. I reverence him. I respect him. It's very hard and difficult in times of great sadness and grief and worry and loss. But when I come to him, I still trust him. He is all that I've got. And I come in awe of my wonderful Heavenly Father. So I must try not to be a complaining Christian in this matter of prayer, just because I didn't get that which I wanted immediately. I remember again that this is my Heavenly Father, and I am his child, and he can be trusted with every aspect of my life. Fathers, parents often know what their children are asking for is not good for them. He is my Heavenly Father. I can totally depend upon him. So when I come, I honour him and thank him. But then, of course, he is my Father in heaven. And this is so important, that when we pray, we don't fixate completely on earthly things, on earthly concerns. We begin by remembering that we come to our Father in heaven. And so we worship him and we praise him for his might, that he is sufficient for any situation. And we say to him then, "Hallowed, hallowed be your name, Father. We exalt you, we rejoice that our Father in heaven is incapable of any error or any mistake, that he holds everything." And so each time we come and ask him, that others may begin to see this too, and we rejoice in our salvation, but every time we come, we want others to know the joy of salvation. And so when we follow this opening pattern from Jesus in our praying, this opening pattern focusing on prayers to our Father, it will lift us heavenward and move our hearts to come to him. And then Jesus says, "Your kingdom come." So, Father, may your kingdom come in our prayer as we praise him for his plans and purposes. You see, it's good to remember as we're praying, or before we pray, that what is God's plan and purpose? What is his ultimate goal for the Christian? Well, God plans to build a new heaven and join it to a new earth. That's a mystery, but this is God's plan and purpose. And that new heaven and new earth will be our home, our dwelling place for his people, for all who have been bought, redeemed by the blood shed on the cross of Jesus. And everything that we know about this new heaven and new earth joined together with all God's people, everything that has been revealed, and there's not an awful lot of detail, but everything that we know tells us this will be a glorious place, far, far exceeding the loveliness and wonder of this world that is now fallen. Now, God's calling elect people to himself to be with him. This is his purpose. This fallen world with its pain and its pandemics and sorrow and sickness and aging and sin and shame will be gone forever. And so when you pray, think about all this. Thank him for eternal salvation. Your kingdom come. And then, your will be done, because his will for you is best. It's his will, it's not my will, it's not your will. So pray for your Father's help to lose more and more of self and more of my self-life. Your will, O Father, be done. And then Jesus encourages us to pray for our needs. Give us this day daily needs. We need daily prayer for him to supply our daily needs. You see, to serve God, that his kingdom might come in my life, in your life, in our church, to serve God in that way, We need food and clothing and work and income and health. You see, you only have to be hit with something, I'm not sure what it was, that brought me down to almost unconsciousness for some days. I was of no use to the Lord. I didn't even know who was in the room sometimes. We need our food, our clothing. We need income. We need health. But not just our daily earthly needs for our own comfort, but we need provision for our spiritual needs too. And Jesus feeds us spiritually. He says, I am the bread of life. So we ask, help me, Lord, this day to have opportunities to witness. Open up your word to me, Lord. May it enter into my heart, speak to me, challenge me, lift me, encourage me, set me on the right way. Give me the words to say when I meet people, Lord. Show me kindness of service that will help others so that acts of kindness may be done in your name. Keep me from falling, Lord. Keep me from falling away or growing cold, because I am so weak. We are weak people. Pray for forgiveness. Teach me, Lord, to examine myself each day so that on seeing my sin, the more I examine myself, the more I will see my failings and weaknesses. Seeing my sin, I will confess it and find forgiveness. Father, give me a hatred of sin. And so Jesus then, in this model prayer, says, don't forget to come to your Father asking him, lead me not into temptation. Stir my conscience, Lord, that I might resist temptation. Help me to resist. Help me to stand firm against those terrible besetting sins that are part of my life. Don't just pray, lead me into temptation. Be specific with your Father. And deliver us from the evil one and all his schemes that are designed to trip me up and bring me down. He knows where I am weak. Father, help me in the daily battle. Strengthen me where I am easily sidetracked, where I get involved with books and TV and sport and anything. Nothing wrong, of course. I'm not saying anything against that. But when it pushes out my little time alone with my Father, we pray, Lord and Father, help me. Help me and strengthen me to resist the schemes of the devil designed to bring me down. Well, all of that's okay, David. I don't suppose we'd disagree with you, but if I was to pray like that, I'd need most of the day. Precisely. Precisely. That's what Jesus is saying. You see, I know that not many of us can spend hours and hours and hours like that in prayer, but through every day. Short sentence prayers throughout the day. Just bowing your head when you've got 2 minutes alone with your Father to tell him how wonderful he is. And the more we follow Jesus' teaching on Christian prayer, do you know, the more you'll find yourselves expanding your prayers. There'll be so much to pray for, you'll not know where to fit it in. So why does Jesus teach this kind of prayer? Why should we pray like this? And the answer in those words, yours is the kingdom, Father. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory forever and ever. Amen. Prayer is so simple and yet so profound, so mighty. God can shake the earth through the prayers of his people. Prayer is the greatest ministry that you have, and I trust that this series will have reordered, reset, inspired our way of coming to our God in prayer. Amen. So, Father God, hear our prayer, and may our hearts be moved to learn what true Christian prayer really is, and to own it and to make it our daily goal. We ask this in and through the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, only two people got the answer to the question a couple of weeks ago. If you remember, I asked who was the father of the Ammonites. Of course, Polly knew it straight away. I'm going to start hiding the answers away, but she just knew it straight away, of course. And well done to Charles and Vicky, who also knew the answer. Thank you for that. Another question for you this week. And the question I want you to think about and see if you can find the answer is, where do you find the very first mention of Jerusalem? Some translations say Zion, same thing. Jerusalem in the Bible. Where is the first mention of Jerusalem in the Bible? So we close now with this song that brings to us the Lord's Prayer. Thank you.
hear our prayer. We are your children, and we've gathered here today. We've gathered here to pray. Hear our cry. Oh Lord, we need your mercy, and we need your grace today. Hear us as we pray.
Our sins, we pray.